Hey, what's going on, folks? Today I'm going to be joined by David Harris to have a friendly conversation, chat, and possibly debate about the Republican Party, Donald Trump, and where this is all going. David's always been super nice to me, and I appreciate him coming on the show to chat about this. Most won't. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Dream Rare Podcast.
The Dream Rare Podcast, welcome to the show. The way to get the news at the desk or on the road. Let's go. God is great and success in our control. The world is crazy, but we get better from obstacles, yeah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a live episode. We have David Harris Jr. here joining. Appreciate you, David.
Absolutely, AJ. Pleasure to be on with you, my brother.
Yeah, so first off, I guess before we even talk about politics and stuff, how have you been? And how's everything?
You know what? I'm coming back in. Like 2022, I know for so many people was a difficult year, a lot of stressors out of the pandemic, dealing with all the lockdowns. For me, it was more, I broke my leg, literally I snapped my tibia in half in December of 2021. And so I was on drugs after the surgery for like 3 months. I was not even coherent. It was like middle of February. We had some people at our house. They had been doing some work, and I my wife caught me breaking my leg on video. And I asked the guys that were there, I said, have you seen the video of me breaking my leg? And they said, yeah, like 7 or 8 times so far. So that stood out. I was like, okay, God, I got to stop these drugs. They had me on Oxy and Valium. So I cut out one of them, wound up snapping the screws in my leg, had to have another surgery. And then we had our first grandbaby in April. So last year, just like having a grandbaby is like, it's different than having a child. It is one of the greatest gifts, I think, a father or parent could have and could receive. And so we've been just nonstop back and forth where our grandbaby is 3 hours away. In between all the other flights and speaking and events, and it's like, if I'm not at an event, I'm like, where's my grandbaby? So 2022, I took a pause on my podcast. I just started it back up again, the David J. Harris Jr. Podcast. My first episode is going to drop tomorrow, and then I've got some amazing speakers, people I'm inviting to come on, and I'd love to have you on as well, AJ. It's been a minute since we chopped it up, so I'm thankful to be on your show today, and hey, I'm excited to be living in the greatest country in the history of the world, and we got to fight like we're living in the greatest country in the history of the world that is trying to be taken from us at all sides, it seems like. So overall, though, I'm optimistic. You got to be.
Yeah, well, congrats on the grandbaby. That's awesome. The injury's tough. I know, especially when you get physical injuries when you're an active person, it could be really psychologically tough too. I broke my thumb. I had a thing go through my foot. It's rough all the way around when you can't walk or move like you wanted for a few months. So glad you're better. And yeah, congrats on the family. That's important.
Thanks,
so let's get into basically. You know, there's been obviously a lot of chatter recently with maybe DeSantis throwing his hat in the ring, maybe, you know, and a lot of competition. There's been a lot of debate even over the last week with like Daily Wire, Crowder. It seems like there's a lot of conversation going. Some of it you could say is good. Some of it you could say is bad. I guess it depends how you look at it. But let's start with really Trump, because I think outside of even politics, you seem pretty close with him, right? Like you've hung out a bunch. It almost seems like they got you living at Mar-a-Lago. No.
Yeah, I'm not living in Mar-a-Lago yet. That the entry to Mar-a-Lago is a pretty penny. I've got a few friends that are members there, and I get invited to a lot of events there. So you know, it's interesting. You know, people see me, you know, with pictures with him and videos, and I can't say that we've had a chance to actually just like hang out and talk. You know, each time I see him or meet him, I might have a few minutes, you know, but it's kind of overview stuff. It's not really the deep dive stuff. I have close friends of mine that do have that kind of access, that talk to him on a weekly basis, and that do have the ability to really, you know, chop up what's going on or different things. So I don't have that quite access yet, but I appreciate the opportunities that I've had to meet with him and to see him, like just this last weekend at Diamonds. Celebration of Life in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Every time he sees me, he's like, David. And this time he actually said, are you kidding me? So I know he watches my videos. I know he's into what I'm doing. But, you know, we just quick, brief stuff. But he knows who I am. He appreciates the difference that I'm trying to make in waking people up. And from the people that I know that are close to him, I have probably a little bit deeper of an insight than people that don't know people that are close to him. but that's kind of the level of connection that we've got. But
okay,
honored to know him and to champion him in the things that I can champion him in. You know, there's obviously some controversial stuff, but we all got to just figure out what we're gonna pursue, what we're gonna push, promote, as we're trying to wake people up as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I hear you. Kind of see him in passing. Like, you definitely get invited to events and stuff, but you don't have that like inner circle, like, you know, briefing with them every week. But there are people, you know, in it. I guess we'll start with this, because I think we could agree on probably most stuff. I see you post. You've been a heavy critic of Big Pharma. I was looking up stuff trying to find the video of me and you, and I found that I guess you got banned from American Airlines because you didn't want to wear a mask. Are you still banned?
No, actually, the ban lasted 2 years, and I think it was just a God thing. Without going into a deep convo, I booked a flight where the first leg of it was on Alaskan. And that was just probably April of last year. And the second leg of that trip was American, and they had just lifted the mask mandate, but it was being charged back in court. It was being they were trying to, you know, keep it going. So I got to Portland and tried to check in at the American Airlines desk, and they're like, "You're on the no-fly list." So I pulled out the very first email they sent me that said, "When the mask mandate's lifted, we'll take you off the no-fly list." I showed that to the lady after 20 minutes and her making two phone calls. They took me off for that flight, but they never put me back on. So, but it was 2 years of having to travel with somebody else and taking two or three planes instead of one, being that I'm right next to DFW, which is an American hub. So no, I'm not banned anymore. Thank you, Lord.
I got you. Yeah. I know we agree on a lot of that stuff, and definitely you don't mince your words about Big Pharma. You don't mince your words about freedom. And I want to I have a few things just because I figured it'd be like easy to hold it up rather than just say it. Cause then sometimes also people say to me, they're like, "Oh, I don't know. Like, is that even real?" So I try to show proof. I'm gonna basically state my case about my issues with Trump. And I want to hear basically where you're at with it, because I know, you know, there's a lot of speculation of who people want to vote for in 2024, but I want to make my case. And I'm just going to mute you just because there's a little bit of like back play or whatever, and then I'll unmute you as soon as I'm done. So I'm just doing that so it doesn't echo. All right, so I'm just going to go through like a few little things. Just so, this is Biden, obviously sold out. Pfizer and 10 other corporations donated $1 million to Biden's inaugural committee. $61 million he got. That's basically corporations and pharma, you know, buying you, I think, like giving money so you rub their back afterwards. So everybody knows Biden's a sellout on our side, right? After more research, I didn't know this really a few years ago, but once I saw Trump kind of running around selling the vaccine so much, I found out that he actually took $106 million, which was more than Obama and more than Biden, when he said, you know, "I don't need other people's money," but he did take $100 million from corporations. And I found out later through listening to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., that he also took $1 million from Pfizer. And I was like, dang, so he's taking that money too. I'm gonna just show a few more. And then, you know, he came into office as a skeptic of vaccines. Everybody know he was not afraid to talk about injuries, et cetera. It seems like he kind of pivoted and he hired a pharmacy executive, Alex Azar. He's an executive lobbyist who worked with Eli Lilly. So he handed the HHS department over to Big Pharma, basically, put a swamper in. Then I found out he put out Scott Gottlieb at the head of the FDA, who left the FDA under Trump and went right to Pfizer. So he was another pharma shill. And he actually came out recently in the Twitter files, and he was one of the people basically trying to shut people up on Twitter. I'm sure didn't like our tweets either. So I'm gonna turn the mic back on. Basically, this is my point, David. It's not obviously your fault or problem. You know what I'm saying? You're responsible for yourself, your beliefs. But what I find in the people that are close to Trump, and probably closer to Trump than you are, people that can interview him, people that talk to him, nobody wants to really push back and ask questions about that. And it's not like I'm saying that he's couldn't beat Joe Biden, or maybe he couldn't beat DeSantis, but I'm just wondering, like, are you gonna hire swampers again? Because as you've seen, he is not backing off the vaccine and is basically like a right-wing Martha Stewart claiming it saved 100 million lives. And, you know, I just, more than not even wanting to not support him in 2024, I'm worried, I guess, that he's going to do the same exact thing, because nobody in his base or around him seems to want to like challenge him or ask journalistic questions.
Yeah, I hear you, AJ. And those are, I think those are very direct questions, concerns, right? I mean, here's the thing. He's made some picks in his cabinet, period, that bit him in his butt later, right? I don't think that he knows. And again, this is me, you know, I've interviewed him twice on my podcast. I interviewed him. First time I interviewed him, I tried to bring up some of the vaccine injury stuff. And he kind of just bulldozed over it and went to, you know, Operation Warp Speed. It's, you know, it's groundbreaking, it's record breaking, all this stuff, which is true. That's not the problem. The problem is what I brought up the second time I interviewed him, I kind of kept going at it. I didn't just let it go. It was like my first interview with President Donald J. Trump, right? So I'm like, I'm gonna throw this question out there, and then we're gonna see where it goes. And then he kind of, you know, answered it and deflected, went somewhere else. And I knew I only had, you know, 20 or so minutes, so I didn't kind of stay there. But the second time, I stayed there. I brought up some of the videos that Project Veritas had reported. Some of the nurse, you know, that shared that one of her friends that didn't want to take the jab got the jab, was coerced to take it, and then died. And I said, you know, Mr. President, we trust you. I said, I trust you. I believe you're a good person. I believe you're trying to save America. You're doing what you can to save America and move America in the right direction, away from the communist dictators that would like to destroy our country. I trust you. I don't trust Big Pharma. And he paused. He said, you know what? Okay, I get that. He said that, I understand. There's definitely, you know, cause for concern against Big Pharma. So, you know, as far as him taking money, again, I can't dive into the weeds of where it came from or who it came from or what it was for or anything else. All I know is the swamp is such a net. It's such a network. It's so deep. And there's people on all sides. There's rhinos and Democrats. Obviously, there's people on both sides that I don't think that he understood how deep that swamp nest and network was. You know, and I think because of who he's listening to in his inner circle, they either don't know, or they're not telling him intentionally. Right. Or, you know, I don't think that he just knows. And then it's like, even when you hear something, when you're the president of the United States, now former president of the United States, that's trying to get back in the Oval Office, and you hear people telling you stuff, it's like, who do you believe? Who do you trust? You know, who do you actually listen to? How much weight do you put in that? And then how much energy do you want to put in that direction, you know, in that focus of what those lines of questions is going to be? So I don't think anybody in his inner circle has asked him to watch, you know, can we say things on here, or we need to be careful about what we say on here?
It's Facebook and YouTube. I mean, yeah. It is what it is.
So the, you know, the documentary about people dying and people doing that, you know, all of a sudden, I don't think that anybody's told him to watch that, right? I mean, at Diamond's memorial service, I was shocked at how many people I talked to that were there, some of the influencers and people that are friends that hadn't even seen it. And it's pretty irrefutable when you look at it, you know, coming from these coroners, the embalmers that are having a problem that they've never seen before. It's kind of obvious. So I just don't think that he knows the extent of how serious this is. And again, you know, being the you know, business guy, business, you know, mogul, billionaire from New York, who's used to not giving a flying flip about what anybody says, and he does what he wants and says what he wants, and then he normally can back it up. I think his big, you know, he's been championing, and, you know, the whole Operation Warp Speed and, you know, groundbreaking, you know, vaccine just in record-breaking time, never been done before. It's like he's championing that achievement more than the potential concerns of, you know, what we're finding out about. The DOJ was actually the ones working on the jab. They actually gave, you know, the mRNA to Pfizer. They gave them a contract, and then it's actually a DOJ weapon. It's like all these different things that we some of us hear about and in our research dive into. You know, Dr. Zev Zelenko was a dear friend. He was a close friend, and he was sending me stuff. You know, he was originally the first one that came out and shared the protocol, the Zelensky protocol with President Trump, and the FDA shut him down, NIH shut him down, all these different agencies that were supposed to be there for us, the people, shut him down. I'm going to get into this on my podcast this year, but Trump wanted to go to the press conference, right, and tell people, hey, hydroxychloroquine, it works. And Pence said, hey, we got to wait. We need to go to, you know, the FDA and get FDA approval. And then Zelensky said every person that would have the ability to say yes to something else, to specifically hydroxychloroquine, then they shut it down. And the reason they had to was because they couldn't get emergency use authorization for the jab. They couldn't get it if anything else works. Nothing else can work. So he actually, he's since passed away, not of COVID, not of jab, but he sent me a plethora of information, documentation on the people that were behind it, the people that said no, the people that, that shut it down. And the reason was so that they could push through the jab. So I think that whole plot, if you will, the plandemic, I think the whole thing was probably something that was already in the works. Then Trump got in office in order to try to make sure he didn't stay in office. Let's release it. And then, again, these are all just my opinions, but I don't think he understood or even maybe still understands how deep that whole network is and how serious the WEF is of literally wanting to take over the world.
Yeah, so, you know, a few things, because you were talking for a while. You said in your interview, he kind of like bulldozed over the question and just went back to the Operation Warp Seats
guy. The first interview.
Right. And he does that with everybody, it seems like. You know, people are asking him about this stuff. He just says it saved 100 million lives. It saved 100 million lives. It's the greatest human achievement. That's kind of, I'm just going to mute you for the backlash real quick, because it's kind of echoing. That's what he does. He bulldozes over the question, right? Your theory basically is a lot of people is like, he just doesn't know. Like, I guess he came into office as somebody who knew about injuries from those products, but now all of a sudden he's like too dumb to know this stuff. Like, he's this great leader who just constantly gets fooled and lied to all the time and doesn't know anything, even though he's taking money from Pfizer, even though he's hiring pharmacy lobbyists. Like, at what point do people stop saying Trump is this big goofy dummy who doesn't know anything? Everybody knows it except for him. And when do people start looking at the fact that he might be part of the swamp? He might be working with, you know, people like Lindsey Graham, the biggest rhino swamper of all. He's on stage with them, giving a platform, not to you or to DC Drano. He's giving it to Lindsey Graham. You know, at what point do people start to consider that maybe Trump is the swamp? He's working with them. He's hiring them. He takes money from them. He does what they want. And nobody wants to call him out on it, because it's like, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think he's dumb. I just think he works. That's who he's working with.
Yeah. Is my audio better?
Yeah, it's good now. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I don't think he's dumb or stupid. I think he's very intelligent. Obviously, nobody can build a multi-billion dollar international conglomerate with no wits and insights. But again, I think that it comes back to who do you trust? Who do you believe? When you're the most powerful person in the world, you're the commander in chief of the United States of America. I can't even imagine, but you've got constantly have people coming at you with this, that, and the other. And it's how much weight do you put into what this person says, and how much energy do you want to put into what this person's saying? And if I give this attention right here, what's that going to do? Right? There's always a cause and effect. There's always a reaction to any action. And so I think, you know, part of the deal, the guy understands how to deal. I think that a lot of his answers are to try to minimize the reaction that could come from opening Pandora's box and opening a door like that. So he's got those, you know, kind of pre-ready answers of, you know, it's saved 100 million lives and it's done this and it's done that, until he's smacked, right, you know, between the eyes with some knowledge that's irrefutable, right? And I don't know that anybody's given him that knowledge. So he's just going to stay there. So it's like, you know, do I hold him accountable for people not giving him the answers or the information? I don't know who's doing what. I don't know. What I do know is when I have had a chance to interview him, talk with him, whether it's at Mar-a-Lago, at events, I was sitting at his dinner table. He invited literally me and my wife and my daughter to sit at his dinner table at a fundraiser in Naples a month ago, it was in December. He's genuine. He's genuine. He cares. And just look at the overview, right? It's like he could have stayed in his multi-billion dollar lifestyle, stayed out of politics, not taking the heat, not taking the flack, all the other death threats that he and his kids get, Byron gets, and all that stuff. He could have stayed out of it and just said, you know what, the hell with it. Let politicians do what they're going to do. So I don't think that he's a part of the swamp. I don't believe that he's a part of the swamp. I don't believe that at all. Because I believe that he is in it for the right reasons, but he doesn't always have the right people around him telling them the right information or giving the information on issues and topics like this one's obviously a hot one, right? And I think that in the next year or two, it's probably going to get a hell of a lot worse as far as all these people that are dropping all of a sudden out of nowhere. And then maybe it's going to be enough for him to say, okay, hold up, I need to freaking, you know, I need to answer this or address this. I don't know what it's going to take, but...
Yeah, I hear you. I guess as a voter, right? I mean, we'll see who runs in the Republican primary. I'm obviously not voting for Pence or Nikki Haley, those losers. I'm talking about like maybe DeSantis or Rand Paul or somebody that has like legitimate
chance.
Yeah, good people. So I want to say, you know, why should I want to vote for somebody that makes bad choices? Like with DeSantis, he obviously has flaws too, but he hired Joseph Latipo, who's kind of like one of us. He was on the front steps of Washington with Stella Emanuel, all these outsider doctors. That's who DeSantis hired for a surgeon general. You know, Trump hired Mike Pence's Indiana guy, Jerome Adams, who blocked me on Twitter because he's a big pharma loser also. So it's like, why should I want to vote for somebody that constantly hires terrible people, pharmacy lobbyists and swampers? And also, I guess, I know you would never say the vaccine saved 100 million lives because no one believes that. So why make excuses for it rather than push back against it? Whereas like if Lindsey Graham said that, every right-wing influencer would post it on their Instagram and be like, what a swamper, what a liar. If Bill Gates said it, everybody would post it and say, what a liar. But if Donald Trump says it, all of a sudden everybody's making excuses for it. It almost seems like Trump has people under this spell where they feel the need to basically make excuses for his lies rather than do journalism against it.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's making excuses. I think that we have to just ask ourselves who's gonna be there. Until just recently, I guess, you know, maybe the last year, who are we gonna look to for potentially being a leader of the GOP, representing conservative values? We need somebody in there that's not a Democrat. And ultimately, we got to make sure we fix the elections because it may not even matter. But, yeah, but I think I personally try to champion a person for the good that they're doing. And when somebody's a rhino like Lindsey Graham and has shown that flip-flop, you know, in what he's done and what he said about Joe Biden and other stuff, it's like, well, then it's obvious.
Right? But when just somebody, real quick, like Lindsey Graham is the biggest rhino, but Donald Trump's putting him on a stage. He's not putting you on a stage. He's not putting me on a stage. He's not putting doctors on a stage. He's putting Lindsey Graham on a stage. I understand what you're saying, but it's not like we're trying to hate Donald Trump into like a non-existence or anything. It's just like, the reason you call out Kevin McCarthy is not because you hate Republicans, because you want to reform the party in the right direction. The reason you call out rhinos and even people you like sometimes is because you want them to know that you care about certain issues. So with Donald Trump, why not push back against all his lies and shilling for big pharma and terrible hires? Why play this game like it's so amazing and it's the art of the deal? Isn't that just going to incentivize Donald Trump to just keep making the same mistakes? I feel like that's the reason he keeps doing it, is because everybody would rather just kind of like hang out at Mar-a-Lago than actually push back against his lies. Like, why not do the same thing we do for McCarthy and Lindsey Graham when Trump's on stage with Lindsey Graham? It's not like this guy's not close to Trump. He's going to be speaking and hosted by Trump in a few weeks.
Well, I think he's already a member of Congress as well, right? So it's he's already has a stage.
Trump doesn't put Adam Schiff on a stage.
Adam Schiff on a stage?
Who would put Lindsey Graham on a stage? Lindsey Graham is not really that much better.
You're trying to get into, I think, specifics and answers to things that are in a level that neither you and I are in. We're not in Congress. Right?
Is it your job to call out rhinos, but it's above you to call out Donald Trump? Why do you, you know, it's
why
like you want
to,
it's above your level to do that, but it's not above your level to do journalism every single day of your life. But when it comes to Trump, it's above your level, but not with every other Republican. Why is that?
Okay. So you're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say it was above my level. I already told you that I asked him straight up. The first interview and the second interview, I brought it to him three times. So I didn't say it's above my level, and I'm not playing games. Okay. What I'm saying is I'm choosing to stay in the lane that I'm staying in. I'm going to call him out on whatever things I feel like need to be called out on. If you want to go holler and scream and create an emotional response to people, oh, you know, we got to go do this and get your pitchforks and, you know, go riot, then go do that, AJ, if that's what you want to do.
I mean, now you're just making up a straw
man. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to do what I feel God is calling me to do. And I don't feel like God is calling me to go tell people to get their pitchforks and
riot. No one said get a pitchfork. I'm asking you to do journalism.
That's your demeaning.
You do journalism. David, you do journalism. You do journalism. David, real quick, you talk a lot. It's okay. you do real journalism against every Republican, but God, but God told you not to do journalism against Donald Trump. Every other Republican, you do it, but now it's a pit. Who wants to put pitchforks out, dude? I'm asking you to do real journalism.
Why are you putting words in my mouth? I never said.
Okay, what are you saying? What are your words in your own mouth? Go ahead.
You've done that like twice so far, AJ. You don't have to put words in my mouth. You know, you posted something on Twitter. I think actually started this whole thing.
Right.
You kind of blasted me on Twitter. And then I tried to respond, and it didn't go through because you deleted it. And then I texted you and I said, "Hey, brother, we're brothers. I had you on my show before. We're both believers. We both love Jesus. We should be unified, or at least if we have an issue with each other, it should be something that I go to you two directly, or you come to me two directly, not when you haven't even talked to me about it, go blast me on Twitter."
Well, that's why I deleted it. And that's why we talked. That's why I deleted it. And that's why
you deleted it. But right. what I'm saying is it's the same kind of attitude I'm feeling right now from you. It's like you're trying to either get a rise out of me, or you're trying to tell me that I'm shilling for the president because I won't call him out on stuff. And I just told you, I called him out on the interview. I don't know who else around him is calling him out, or is asking him where he's getting his data, or why he's not looking at this and that specifically. But I can tell you this, we need either a Donald Trump or a DeSantis or Rand Paul. I think they're all three great choices to lead the conservative party. And then as Christians, we better hope that we are listening to God every day with every word, and make sure that we're praying before we open our mouth. Jesus said, "I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see my Father doing." And unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people that are quick to say stuff when they didn't pray about it. And that causes division, or it causes chaos. And God's not he's not a director or author of chaos or confusion. So I don't want to be a part of that. What I want to be a part of is encouraging people, inspiring people to speak up, to speak the truth, to pray more. The Bible says, pray for our leaders. We're supposed to pray even for Joe Biden. I don't know how many of us are doing that. But at the end of the day, I'm responsible for me, my words, what I say, and how I treat other people.
Right. I hear you. So basically, the point that I'm getting to is because I think, David, you've done a lot of great work and you've become very successful as a political activist, whether you're on a plane or you're speaking your mind on Facebook or Instagram. You know, millions of people have gravitated to you because you are a political activist when it comes to people like Fauci, when it comes to rhinos, when it comes to Republicans you don't like, Democrats, etc. You don't say, "Well, maybe Fauci's following the data. Maybe I'm going to wait a little bit to see where the data comes from." You just say, "No, he's lying, and I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to call him out." This is the point that I'm getting. I pray to God. I don't think Donald Trump is Jesus or anything, where he's the only Republican that you're being blasphemous. Let me speak. So the point that I'm basically getting is I think a lot of the yes men around Donald Trump, when it comes to Fauci, when it comes to Birx, when it comes to pretty much everyone in big pharma, nobody's making excuses for Albert Bourla of Pfizer being like, "Well, I mean, I guess maybe it's just the data and the art of the deal and we'll have to wait." So the thing that I'm getting is two things: is softballing Donald Trump is actually ruining our party, not because people want to hurt Donald Trump, is because nobody wants to point out the obvious with him, where he can literally hire a bunch of swampers, pharmacy lobbyists, take Pfizer money, run around the country with Lindsey Graham, but nobody wants to talk about it. Yet if Marjorie Taylor Greene does half of what Trump does, everybody's yelling at her. You know what I'm saying? For the same thing that Trump did. But when Trump does it, it's like it never even happened. So the point that I'm getting to is I'm not asking you to be nasty or rude. I'm definitely not asking you to get a pitchfork or anybody to get a pitchfork, because, you know, it's better for farming than it is for rioting or whatever. I'm just saying I find this like a, you know, blind spot with a lot of Republicans that just don't want to do journalism with Trump. And I don't think it's really helping the country. And I honestly personally think that it's actually hurting Trump, because it's like he's kind of the joker in the room now, and the people around him that could benefit off him, and I'm not just saying you, I'm just saying a lot of people, his advisors, people closer to him, it's like they don't want to rock the boat because they're kind of on the Trump train as a career or as a political strategist. I mean, he's that guy, he's Donald Trump, he was the former president. I get it. But on another hand, it's like Trump's stock is sinking in many ways because of you know, his total disconnect. And it's like nobody wants to say something or he doesn't listen, you know. But I guess speaking of God, I think I was called for many things, but one of it is to do, you know, real journalism. So if basically Donald Trump says the vaccine saved 100 million lives, I'm going to disagree with that. And if Bill Gates says it or Hillary says it, I'm going to disagree with that. What I don't understand is the people who disagree with all of that, yet when Trump does it, all the excuses come out. And real quick, I just want to say, if Fauci said the vaccine saved 100 million lives, you would be like, that's a lie. He's a liar. He's a phony. He's a fraud. When Trump says it, I don't know why he said that. I don't know where he got it from. You see what I'm saying? Not trying to be rude or disrespectful. It's just, that's just how everybody is in the movement for some reason.
Well, I get an opportunity to spend time in a lot of circles around people that appreciate President Donald Trump for who he was, where he came from, what he sacrificed to try to lead this country. And people are definitely, the circles that I've been, I go to a lot of different places, churches, political rallies, events. I would say that overall, his stock is not going down. I would say there's a mark on it, a question mark for sure, because for some people, they are like, wait a minute, there's something not right with these jabs. And, you know, Trump's still promoting them. So there's the question mark, right? And, you know, again, for real journalism, I told you three times already, I did bring it up. I did ask him. I did it three times. I pushed. I did real journalism in my lane, right? When I had the opportunity to address it with him. So I don't know why you're still trying to put me in that box of not being a real journalist or not holding him, you know, accountable or ignoring it or making excuses for it. I'm not in that box. I'm just talking to you. But when I had the opportunity to talk to him directly, I did ask him. I did point out the issues. I did point out the deaths. I pointed out the Project Veritas videos. And then he said, send me the information. And I sent him a whole bunch of information to his point of contact. And hope that he read it. I did my job when it came to that question mark. I did my job. Now what I have to do is try to help people wake up to the lies that are there, to the schemes of what the enemy's trying to do. He's coming after our kids. There's a whole lot more issues than just this one issue. It is a big issue. I agree, but it's not the only issue. So I'm not, I'm not going to stop everything else and only focus on that or only make videos where I'm, you know, saying, you know, calling them out on this. It's 100 million people. It didn't happen. It's a lie. I'm not gonna focus on that. You can do whatever you want, right? Sure.
It's a big lie. It's a huge lie. I mean, nobody else is saying that. Fauci's not saying it. Bill Gates is not saying it. Nobody's saying that because it's such an outlandish, ridiculous lie that it's insane. So I understand, but do you think if Dr. Fauci said the vaccine saved 100 million lives, do you think you would not cover it the same way as if President Trump says it over and over again?
Well, I try to call Fauci out on pretty much everything he says, because when you've got videos of him saying that natural immunity works and that masks don't work, and then he's out there saying wear 2 and 3 masks and, you know, natural immunity is not good enough, it's pretty easy to put, you know, compare the two and say this guy's a joker, right? We still have to wait for all the data to come out. It's what I fear the most is what Dr. Zev Zelenko said was probably going to happen. Is that if it didn't have irreparable damage to a person within the first 3 days or 3 months, it'd be 3 years. And we're in the last 18 months roughly of that 3 years. And so my concern is, which is the cat's already out of the bag, it's already in people. The next 18 months could be, you know, times 10 or even 100 of what we're hearing about of people that are just all of a sudden gone. So, again, there's a lot more issues to talk about. We need somebody that's going to lead the conservative party, the GOP, that's going to represent us, the people. I think President Donald Trump did an amazing job of that in his 4 years he was in office. Did he do everything right? No, he's not perfect. Nobody's saying he is. Nobody's saying he's a Messiah. There's only one Messiah, period. But he did a lot. And I think DeSantis could do a lot. But I think Rand Paul could do a lot. I think Trump could do a lot. But I think the swamp has to get put in check on all fronts, because there's a heck of a lot more that's going to try to take this country down than just, you know, whether he's touting the vaccine or not, which I think he needs to stop. He just needs to stop. I don't think it saved 100 million lives, period.
I mean, if you're concerned like some people are, I'm not too concerned, but, you know, I didn't get it, but I'm just saying in general, time will tell like what really happens. We'll never know until the future. But it's like, if we're concerned that what Zelenko said is right and things get a lot worse, why in the world would I want to vote for the guy that brags about rushing the FDA and Fauci? He says, I got it out in 8 or 9 months. That's terrible. That means it's protected under the PrEP Act, so they have immunity from side effects and injuries. That means that it's rushed to the public.
That's like, actually not accurate either. A friend of mine that's an attorney, he found a way to crack the PrEP Act. So Big Pharma is going to be held accountable.
Yoder? Yoder or no?
I know Yoder's one, and he's working with Paul Davis, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. But I mean, for now, at least, there's going to be definitely legal battles. But it's like, I just don't understand why I would like that guy. But I want to just go through a few more things. So just real quick, and this is, I mean, maybe there's other people watching that are closer to Trump or interview him, but I'm just kind of throwing it out in the sphere because I've watched many, and I haven't seen your full interview with Trump, but I've watched many softball interviews where nobody's asking real questions. Here, I'm just throwing out some great journalistic questions to ask if anybody wants to do it. I don't need credit either. Why did you take Donald Trump $1 million from Pfizer for your inauguration? Why did you hire a bunch of pharmacy lobbyists for HHS and FDA? Why'd you close the door on RFK Jr. and basically put the swamp into existence? You know, here's one. Bill Gates came to him in 2018. We all pretend like we're, you know, taking on Bill Gates and stuff. But what if what if the guy that everybody on the Republican Party likes is actually working with him? So Bill Gates in 2018 said Trump was super interested in a universal flu vaccine, 2018. And he told him, wouldn't you love to have the universal flu vaccine, something that got kicked off and energized by you? So Bill Gates was putting in his ear in 2018, you know, you could revolutionize flu vaccines and you should look into it. And then, you know, this is another great question that someone could ask. Are you friends with Bill Gates, Donald Trump? And did you try to hire Bill Gates, Donald Trump? Because Bill Gates claims that Trump offered him a job in his White House and he declined. Is it true? We'll never know because nobody asked Donald Trump these questions. And then as that universal flu vaccine thing that he's talking about, Donald Trump actually passed that through executive order, not with Congress, by himself. He modernized influenza vaccines, the same exact thing he was talking about with Bill Gates. He passed into office in 2019, and that's a pretty interesting executive order before the pandemic that talks about a flu vaccine task force and a lot of similar language to we saw in 2020. So these are just some questions I want somebody to ask because I don't have the interview, and I don't need it. I'm not looking for the attention, but I just really want our party to ask these questions because
you get the interview.
Yeah,
it's not about getting the attention. It's about asking questions. If you if you get the opportunity to interview him, you better do it, AJ. Come on now.
Of course I will, but I'm just saying I don't have those opportunities, and I don't think anybody seems to want to ask him super tough questions. So I guess these are just questions I'm throwing out in the atmosphere, not just at you, but at everybody.
Send me those questions, and I'm going to try to interview him again, and I'll ask every one of them.
Okay, yeah, I guess the good –
I have no problem doing that.
I appreciate it. And that's really all it was. And with the Twitter thing too, I do want to say, David, that, you know, after I said it, it was like 12 o'clock at night or something. I was responding. I deleted it before you even sent me a text because I was like, you know what? I'd rather chat with him face to face or how closest we can get to that, or just have a text, like you said, like rather than just like complain about something to you randomly. So I did delete it for that reason. I 100% agree with you. I appreciate you sending the text and reaching out. And that's really what it's about. I'm going to let you say whatever you want, but I'm not trying to hate Donald Trump. I'm not trying to bring the pitchforks out. I'm not trying to just yell and scream. What I'm basically doing is the same thing everybody else does with everybody else, except I'm doing it with Donald Trump, because I just think after 4 years of him taking swap money, hiring a bunch of terrible people, running around the country saying the vaccine saved 100 million lives, first rally of the year, he's with Lindsey Graham. The evidence is stacking and stacking that Trump's working with the swamp, Trump's working with Big Pharma, and he's completely unapologetic about it because nobody wants to push back. It's almost like he knows that his base will flop like a fish when he does that, but if anyone else did it, they'd be all over it. So I feel like Trump is almost kind of like, you know, exploiting his base, knowing that all the influencers won't really push back. So it's nothing personal, obviously nothing about you, and I'm not saying you, I think you do great work, and I think you honestly say a lot of bold stuff, and I think we agree on most stuff when it comes to freedom around the pandemic and what we want in our bodies, etc. So I know that you have the fighter spirit in you for sure. And are taking your own path, but that's really where I'm at. It was never meant to be a personal or like an attention grab. My fear, basically, not that I'm like so afraid, but is that people are basically cakewalking the pharmacy lobby back into the White House. They're cakewalking a guy who's learned nothing and doesn't want to change. Where that's where I want to see, DeSantis and Trump run against each other, because I think competition's good. I'm not, you know, I hope they both say something about each other, because of course we want to be friends. Of course we want to get along. But at a certain point, it's like we don't want to turn into the same rhinos that we got into politics to basically take on.
100%. Brother, 100%. I agree with everything that you said. And yeah, I appreciate it. I was, only reason I knew you deleted that tweet, because I was trying to, I had this nice thought, thoughtful, like, not, I didn't react to the tweet. I didn't want to do that on social media. That's like not what I thought was necessary. But I tried to push reply and it wouldn't go through. And I was like, and then it still showed the tweet was there. So I was like, I don't know what Twitter was doing. So finally, I was just like texting you, like, did you delete it? I think maybe it finally said tweet was deleted. But hey, you know what? That's why I love Romans 8:28. God's able to cause all things to work together for good, right? Because here we haven't talked for quite a while, but that led to this conversation, right? Which is good. I love chopping it up with you. I appreciate your stance. You speak bold. You're courageous. You know, you're very upfront with how you believe and what you think. And you're not afraid of going after anybody regardless, right? And I think all your questions are valid questions. And I'm 100% on board with send me those questions and I'll ask them and I'll tell them. I'll say, there's a large part of your base, Mr. President, that have these questions. These could be tough questions, but I'd like a direct answer, if you would, to these questions. I'll ask them. So send them to me. So that's how, you know, things take place. And yeah, I think it's good, man. So we need somebody that's going to champion the conservative values that this country was founded on. And we've got to call out the enemy at every turn, because darkness is trying to, looks like they're winning. I mean, if you look at it, I posted a video where now it's not just schools, but daycares that are trying to indoctrinate children to tell kids 4 and 5 years old that there is no boy or girl, that they can figure it out. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? These are children. I've got a 9-month-old grandbaby now, right? You know what I would do if I found out that a teacher or a daycare worker was trying to tell that indoctrination, trying to indoctrinate my grandbaby? They're going to have a problem. Right. So again, those are issues that hit me hard when it comes to children and our kids. But I think that the issues of that you addressed are valid as well. And I'll have no problem asking President Trump when I interview him again.
I appreciate it. I just want to end on this, because obviously the left is like going insane. I don't know what happened in 2016, but it's like they've gone off and never really come back to reality. And then you look at the Republicans, where there were some minor wins, and I think Supreme Court wins, which led to a few things. But for the most part, you know, they slightly infringed on the Second Amendment with the bump stock ban. You know, Trump and DeSantis actually passed anti-Semitism speech laws, which, in my opinion, infringe on the First Amendment, your right to speak freely or protest. So I've seen a Republican president and the whole party infringe on the first two amendments. Then you get to COVID, right? And then all of a sudden they turn into basically socialists and communists. Operation Warp Speed was a socialist vaccine scheme. I think the whole thing was terrible. Obviously the mandates were bad, but, you know, giving $16, $18 billion to big pharma, that's not capitalism. That's a socialist game where then Trump, I don't know if he purposely left or not. Okay. Yeah, he's coming back. But, you know, they gave a bunch of money to pharma and then bought their products. The reason that they're free is because Trump and Biden bought them. They're not free. They're taxpayer products. And then they did the CARES Act, right, which was the most socialist scheme ever. They just printed a bunch of money, which was terrible. And then the Republican Party put Tim Scott on television to basically brag about it after a speech. So the point that I'm getting to is, it's not that I dislike Trump or I don't think he had hard things around him, but at the end of the day, the Republican Party, in my opinion, went full socialist communist. They printed money, they infringed on the first two amendments, and my concern is that it doesn't seem like they're even slightly apologetic about it. And that's really why I'm trying to put the pressure. I'm not getting into Trump's personal life, what he said on a bus 30 years ago. I don't care about that stuff. All this stuff is public, you know, lobbying and corporate money, all the stuff in my hand. It's not like I'm not like in his windows trying to see what they're doing. Like, that's creepy to me. And I wouldn't do that to you or anybody. So all my basically concerns that I'm pushing back against are to try to protect the Constitution, actually have success, and not turn into the Democrats, because 4 years of a Republican president, it's like the country's not really in a better place right now. And I'm not saying that's entirely his fault, but there needs to be some sort of accountability on our side, or else we just turn into the Democrats from 10 years ago.
I agree, brother. There's got to be accountability. There's got to be accountability at every level, period. And we, the people, should be demanding answers, especially of those highest, you know, in the highest office or former highest office or seeking the highest office. So I think they're very valid points. And I think the American people, we got to wake up. I think you do a lot of waking up. So I applaud you for that. And at the end of the day, beginning of the day, we're same team, same side. And spiritually, we all want to squash and completely destroy the works of the enemy and darkness, and wake people up along the way. So
thanks for joining me, and I'll send the questions over. You know, I don't care who asks them. I don't need credit or a shout out. Honestly, I just want to see what he says, because, you know, Bill Gates and those type of people, like, you know what their agenda is, and it's not the conservative American agenda. Let's just say that. So if it turns out that our leaders are basically working hand in hand with them, I think the people need to know if that's a false story or a misnomer, or if it's like, you know, you can only know if you ask. So I appreciate you even considering asking, because that means a lot.
No, I will. Absolutely. I'll let you know. Send them to me so I have them, or wait till I get them on the schedule, right? I'm going to reach out, since I've launched my podcast again. I'm going to reach out for another interview, and I'll have no problem saying, hey, he's come from AJ, known as Anomaly. He's a brother that's got a lot of influence. He's a big influencer, and he loves and supports almost everything you do, but he's got some questions, and I think they're valid questions, Mr. President. Here we go. I have no problem getting into it.
I've seen his videos, okay? He looks like Scott he looks like Scott Pressler. He needs to cut his hair and pray to the Bible, not worry about what Daddy Trump's doing. I'm like, oh, geez, dude, you just got me roasted in front of the whole world now.
Man.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you. Good.
Thanks, brother. God bless.
Thanks, everybody, watching Dream Rare Podcast. And if you'd like to look out for David's podcast, let him know where you can find it when it's out.
David J. Harris Jr. on your favorite podcast platform.
All right. Appreciate it.